Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 21st, 2017. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am happily celebrating International Rush Day because the date, you said it in the wrong order. It is 21-12 today.
I did say it in the wrong order. How arrogantly American of me.
Yeah, well, it's fine. Yeah. You know, it's fine. Happy Rush Day, everybody.
Happy Rush Day. Brian Indeed. Chaffin, how are you?
My mind is not for rent. Sir.
Oh, you, sir, are awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
It's awesome to have both of you here. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks, and that's the company that makes the stock image, audio, and video content that I've been using in some of the articles at Mac Observer. We'll talk about them soon, but right now we need to talk about the great internet meltdown of 2017, which is the whole iPhone battery thing. So short-ish version is that this whole Reddit thread started up where people were saying, OMG, we figured out that Apple really is throttling iPhone performance on older phones, and clearly they're doing this to trick us into buying new phones. And then the people at Geekbench, they started running a benchmarking test and found out that, sure, if you have an iPhone with a battery that's wearing out, that Apple has been playing with how the processor cycles are handled so that you don't get the spike that you can get when you have a bunch of stuff that happens at the same time in the processor. So that stuff gets spread out across more cycles. You don't get the power spike, and then you don't have a problem with your iPhone, say, just randomly shutting down. And then Apple confirmed, yes, that's exactly what they're doing. So that's kind of where we are right now. And first, do you guys think I actually explained that accurately? And then second, how do you feel about this whole thing?
In terms of the accuracy, yeah, yes. It started with iOS 10.2.1, I believe.
Yep.
And continues through to all flavors of iOS 11. It only affects the iPhone 6, 6S, and now the iPhone 7 with iOS 11.2. But just to be clear, and you made this point, but I'll reiterate it, it only happens if your battery is below some threshold of its factory capacity. Lithium ion batteries factory or capacity to keep a charge, or the amount of a charge that they can keep, tends to diminish over time. Mm-hmm. In fact, it will diminish over time. The amount of time that it takes to diminish depends on the battery itself and how you use it and all of that. So there's no way to say, you know, your battery, your phone is X number of years old or X number of months old. It doesn't quite work like that, but we can get close. The problem is that's what's going on. The problem is there's no way for a user to know this, right? The Apple just does it with no notification whatsoever. And even now that we know what Apple's doing, it's still really difficult to tell. You can run Geekbench tests and see how your phone performs to other phones in the same class, you know, so how does my phone perform compared to another iPhone 6? But you might have some background app running that maybe is getting in the way. Maybe, you know, it's really hard to say. I believe, and this is reading this Reddit thread, there is one app called CPU Dasher 10 or CPU Dasher X that used to be free. And now guess what? It's 99 cents. That will show you your CPU frequency, and it has been tested and proven such that the phones that are being affected by this will show a lower CPU frequency than it is supposed to have, or than it does have out of the factory. And this Reddit thread that we'll link to lists what those frequencies should be. For the 6, it's 1400 megahertz. The 6S 1848 and the 7 is 2350. But like some people with iPhone 6s have seen it report 600 megahertz. So way, or 650, I think. So way lower. But again, it's a speed that allows your iPhone to be reliable, even though it's slower. Mm-hmm. So from an engineering standpoint, I totally get this. It makes perfect sense. From a customer interaction standpoint, this is entirely hostile because they're not telling you what's happening.
Right.
Now, we could argue there are lots of decisions that programmers need to make, or that programmers need to program machines to make. And frankly, if we told you about every one of these, you'd never get any work done, you know. But this one's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Apple should have been transparent about this. And
yeah,
what I'm seeing right now, just
you guys are way too polite. This is a bunch of crap.
Well, let me I was going to, when Jeff said Apple should be transparent about this, I was going to take the inspiration from the day and translate this into something that might make more sense to all of us, which, you know, coming from, of course, 2112. Don't annoy us further. We have our work to do. Just think about the average. What use have they for you? We'll leave it with that.
Yeah, this is a bunch of crap. I mean, this is nonsense coming from Apple, and it is, they have set themselves up for failure on this, because of course this is eventually going to be noticed. People have been believing for years that Apple was slowing down their older devices with new versions of iOS to you know, trick them into buying new iPhones. Like, there was already this predilection towards believing something that wasn't happening. Right. There was already this predilection out there amongst its customer base. And now essentially Apple has confirmed that, even though that's not really what's been confirmed at all. But just not telling people, not giving people an option, not explaining what's going on, is just that Apple set itself up for failure. Of course, this was going to get found out. And it is it's a ridiculous move from a transparency standpoint.
Totally. And just to be clear, iOS 10.2.1 came out on January 23rd of this year. So rewinding even a year, if you felt like your phone was slow because a new phone came out,
right,
this was not happening.
Right. This was not the problem. But right. Now there's going to be a lot of people who actually believe that it is.
Totally. Like, this now validates all of that stuff that's been going on for years.
It erroneously validates it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So Apple set itself up for failure not something you do without telling people.
No, you got to tell. And here's the thing. Like, the good news is that you don't have to replace your entire iPhone to solve this problem, if you even, in fact, have this problem. Right. But if you do have this problem, the solution is replace the battery, which from Apple is $79. You can do it cheap, you know, less or even more expensively from third parties, and achieve the same results with new batteries.
Especially if it's out of warranty.
Well, but that's the other thing. Like, here's where one of Apple's, I don't want to say their biggest problem, but a big one is, if your phone is under Apple Care, then, and your battery is below spec, which I think we can agree that if your iPhone is deciding to slow down because of a problem with your battery, it is below spec.
That seems a reasonable assumption.
You get a free battery. Or your battery's covered under Apple Care. I think you pay $29 or something. Oh, no, $29 is for a screen, right? I don't know. There is some provision to Apple Care that gets you a battery.
That might.
What happens to those people who had Apple Care on January 23rd, when this started happening, but no longer have Apple Care, save for their iPhone 6S that expires after 2 years after you bought it? Prior to January 23rd, 2017, it could be argued that, hey, it's on you to tell us if you think you have a problem with your battery. Like, and if you bring it in and we find that you have a problem with your battery, whether you told us or not, if we find it, then we'll, you know, honor whatever Apple Care says we're supposed to do. But after January 23rd, when iOS is now making changes to your device and how your device performs based on the battery, but not telling you that you have a problem, like, it could be argued that you should be replacing this for us under AppleCare.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, there should be a note that's saying, listen, yeah, we detected that your battery is subpar, so we've made some adjustments to how your iPhone is going to work until you can bring it in for a battery replacement.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. That
seems like a reasonable thing.
Yeah, but now, I mean, here, let me play devil's advocate to our devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. If Apple did that, certainly the people that have AppleCare would get whatever AppleCare offers you for a battery. I apologize for not having looked that up. I thought it was free, but I might be wrong on that. But if it's not free, it's $29. What about the people that don't have AppleCare? Now suddenly my iPhone is alerting me that I need to go spend more money with Apple, or they're going to hold my phone hostage, which prior to January 23rd, they weren't doing.
Okay, well then,
I'm just saying.
They set themselves up for failure. This is something they just didn't even need to do.
Well, you know,
because people saying, boy, my battery is crapped out. That's like kind of a thing that we all understand.
But well, that wasn't what was happening. Yeah, the symptom, right, was that the phones were just randomly rebooting when they tried to draw more power than an older battery was able to deliver. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes. So by not addressing this, now they have a different problem, which is people's iPhones are just like randomly rebooting and they don't know why. And I would argue that is a worse user experience than having a phone that doesn't perform at the same level it did when you bought it.
Okay. Either way, just tell us about it.
Just tell us.
Yes.
They do it on macOS, right?
Yes,
like
they
if
do.
You, well, sort of. They don't come out and say it on macOS, but if you go into the little battery dropdown, it'll say service required. Like it shows you your battery status. And if it's either good or service required, why not show that at the very least in settings battery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're going in there to turn on low power mode all the time, well, maybe there is a good spot for it to tell you what sort of state your battery is in terms of like, because it clearly knows. I mean, of course it knows, but
of course it
does. You know, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
This is,
you know what I think this
like
is?
Amateur
I think,
hour, man.
Well, I think this is a team of engineers on, you know, obviously on the iOS team saying we need to solve this problem. How can we solve it? And solving it, right? I mean, what they did mitigates this problem. And then, like, it was never sent up the chain of command such that, or the chain of command failed when evaluating this to say, whoa, wait a minute. We got to tell people. Like, this, I feel like this conversation, perhaps, and maybe I'm giving Apple, maybe I'm being an apologist here without even intending to, like, they did it wrong. But I don't feel like it was done. I can't imagine that this was done maliciously or even intentionally. No, like, I think it was an oversight.
You're saying that engineer is going to engineer.
Engineers are going to engineer. Right. And I don't think the conversation ever happened. Like, should we tell people about this? Nah, you know, like I can totally see, cause I've done things like this. Now screw it. Just like get it done. Ship it. We're going to solve that problem. Awesome. Did you solve it? Yeah. Great. What's next? You know what I mean? Like they're just like firing off bugs, especially in January. Like the OS has been out for a little while. We're done with the holiday break. It's like, dude, guys, we still have a problem here. Okay, great. I got it. It's fixed. Really? Yeah. Test it on these six devices. So sold. Great. Ship
it. Roll out the update.
Right. And then what's the next one on the punch list? So I've been there. I'm not excusing it. I'm simply explaining that I think this is probably how it happened. I don't think Tim Cook was sitting there, you know, all miserly with his fingers tapping each other saying, ha, 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 we can do this and not tell people. Like, I just don't think anybody ever did that.
I would be stunned if that's what happened.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Apple doesn't get everything right. They didn't get this right, but it's a failure of the process.
It's a failure of communication, not a failure of deception.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Exactly. Hey, I have to interrupt us because I want to talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor, it's VideoBlocks. And what I've been liking about VideoBlocks, besides the fact that they have over 150,000 videos, over 100,000 audio clips, and over 400,000 images that I can get at for a totally reasonable price for an annual subscription, that is royalty free. So it's not like you have to worry about, if you're adding this content to your business projects, that you're going to have to turn around and start paying more royalties. Once you've got it, and you can use it. And that's awesome. And it's easy to search and find the content that you want. I love how they have these little filter buttons to narrow down the focus. So instead of having pages and pages and pages of stuff to go through, all you have to do is click your little filter, and all of a sudden you have like 20 images or 10 videos or whatever, and you're good to go. So what they've done is they've set this up so you can subscribe to one of the services, video, audio, or images, for $149 a year, which is already a great deal. But what they're doing for us, the whole TDO family, is that they're offering a special deal, a triple bundle. So the triple bundle, what it does is it lets you have all three of the services for $149 a year instead of $149 each a year. Everything's still royalty-free. Everything's still all you can download. So the deal's good only this month, and we're getting pretty close to the end of the month, so you're going to have to sign up right away if you don't want to miss out. So $149 for a full year of unlimited downloads from all three services. To get the special triple bundle offer, go to videoblocks.com/TDO, and don't wait. Like I said, the special offer is only available in December. That's videoblocks.com/TDO, and thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. All right, so do you guys feel like we've handled this well enough, or do you still have more that you want to say?
We handled this substantially better than Apple.
Okay, well, good for us.
Maybe they need to spend a night in the box.
Maybe they do. Well, then I want to move on to something else that I think is kind of interesting, and it's ARKit, and what. What's bringing this up for me is that Pokemon Go got an update that takes advantage of ARKit. So now you have the little Pokemon that you're running out to capture, and instead of having them locked at a set distance from you continuously, they're now locked in space. So you can get closer, you can get further away, you can walk around them, and it's a really cool use of ARKit. And call it a hunch, but you guys have some ARKit comments for me. Just betting.
Sure, I do. I first of all, kudos to the what's the company that developed
Niantic.
Niantic, yes, I always want to forget their name. Kudos to them for being able to do this game, Pokemon Go, without ARKit. Right, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, I mean, like, you know, we were all delighted with it when it came out and everything, but now we've seen what people can do with ARKit, and really, they should get a pat on the back for that. But I think that it's interesting to me that this game that really brought augmented reality to the forefront, to reality even, for a whole lot of people, to the mainstream, there we go, for a lot of people, or at least, you know, mainstream gaming nerds, but whatever.
It was for a lot of people.
Tomato, tomato. It's now able to make its own product better using this framework that Apple has developed, and I think that's interesting.
I agree.
Yeah. I want to just add some clarity to this. I totally am in agreement with you that Niantic deserves kudos for this, but ARKit doesn't add any functionality to the iPhone. All of this could have been done before. And Niantic, you know, in a sense, proved that by doing the work themselves. What ARKit does is a lot, I don't want to say all, but of lion's share of the heavy lifting of making this AR stuff possible. Thinking of it as a shared code base, right? If Niantic had gone out and talked with other people doing AR apps and said, hey, let's share code with each other because this stuff is a bear to develop. And like, there's no way that we could put in all the work that we would need to put in to truly do this the right way and make any money back off of it. Like, it's just too much. And so that's where Apple stepped in to create these frameworks. And in a sense, that's what any of these frameworks are. HealthKit, ARKit, all that stuff. They're just code libraries included with iOS and, you know, various versions of iOS either have them or don't, which is why Apple wants you to keep upgrading so that you have these shared code libraries that developers can tap into. ARKit is a perfect example of that. It existed. The opportunity to do this has existed for years. It's just that ARKit, Apple finally said, all right, people aren't going to do this on their own. We need to go and make this easier. So let's get you 90% of the way there. You plug your stuff into what we've already built and out we go.
And it brings some consistency of experience too.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Very good point. Yeah, that's right. And yes.
Yeah. So ARKit essentially makes developers' jobs a little bit easier if they're using augmented reality in their apps.
Way easier.
And that's, in my opinion, very likely why Niantic felt like it was time to go from having this static flat image of a Pokemon character out in front of you to something that you can interact with in a more realistic way, meaning you can get closer and move around it.
Listen, I know you're going to be able to hear for time, but
it's like, you know,
I also think we should give Apple some credit. Mm-hmm. Because Niantic was, you know, kind of a leader here, for instance, in that they did this thing by themselves. And Apple was able to bring more to the table and put together better tools that other developers can tap into. I mean, Apple should get some credit for developing an excellent system, too.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Oh, no. And it's, I mean, like, these frameworks are the reason developers don't have to write their own keyboards, say. They just say, all right, show me a keyboard, like display a keyboard for the user with these parameters. And boom, up comes a keyboard. Like, they didn't have to do any of the design of that keyboard. They just said, I want to let people type, and magically the keyboard appears. Like, that's the type of stuff that these frameworks can do. And it's why, it's like you said, Brian, it's why you get this consistent experience too, because now you're not using that developer's keyboard and that developer's keyboard and that, you know, it's just like, yeah, here's the one, go. It's good. It's how good programming works these days for,
yeah, and it's, you know, and it's something that Apple executed well.
Very well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
that's right.
And it even got me to reinstall Pokemon Go on my iPhone. So there's that.
Hey, there you go.
And yes, we are out of time. Dave, thanks for being here today.
And the meek shall inherit the earth.
So I hear. Brian, thank you for being here as well.
I'm sorry that my first Rush quote wasn't from the right album.
It's okay, Brian. I got you covered.
It was all about me, not about Rush. I apologize.
Well, it's okay. I mean, you're a big enough person to be able to say, yeah, I got the wrong album. So I respect.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to have you here. It's also great that VideoBlocks has been our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and take advantage of that triple bundle, because it's 21st right now, and that means you only have a few days left to get all three of their services for $149 for the year. So go check it out, videoblocks.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.